Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodenbeer, our final class here before we break for Chag HaPesach. So just a calendar announcement to take care of some calendar logistics. The next shiur will be Thursday, May the 9th, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. I should say Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Thursday, May the 9th. Chag is over in Chutz Arts Tuesday evening. There's no shiur that Thursday morning. We're going to start with the schedule with the first full week of shiur at the Young Israel of Woodenbeer, okay? So I'm telling you now, the office will send out, I let them know as well, but there is no shiur on Thursday, May the 2nd, a day after Chag. We will resume Halavai Yerushalayim HaBenuya on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which corresponds to Thursday, May the 9th. Okay? Okay, good. Okay, so let's get right into our learning. So it is Erev Shabbos HaGadol, it is Erev Chag HaPesach, Baruch Hashem, here we are. So we are going to talk about a brand new shiur. I'm so sorry, I wish you had handouts. I finished this shiur just before 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have to be up just a short few hours later, and if I would have had to do the handouts, I would have finished the shiur at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I don't know, I wouldn't have had so much sleep, as it is, I did it. So I really wish you had handouts, but you're going to have to pay attention, and you're going to have to listen. This is a brand new shiur that I think is very interesting. So I'm going to begin in Parak Aleph of the Book of Shemos. Parak Aleph of the Book of Shemos is the descent into the Egyptian servitude, the Shibud Mitzrayim, Avadim Hayinu, the Parabim Mitzrayim. It does not begin the redemption, it begins with the servitude. So, a new king arose. I'm just going to paraphrase some of the psukim. Many, many of these psukim are recited as part of Magid in the Seder table, the Leil Seder. If you look through Haggadah, you will see, and the Baal Haggadah expounds upon what the psukim means. So a new king arose over Egypt. He did not know Joseph. He said to his nation, the children of Israel are so many, they're stronger than us, let's be wise against them, they're going to kick us out of the land, they put upon them tax oppression or financial oppression, and then they put upon them slave labor, but the Bnei Israel keep increasing, so now they don't know what to do. So what does Paro do? Okay, so first he slanders them, then there's tax oppression, financial oppression, then there is slave labor, but the people of Israel keep increasing. So here we go. Parak Aleph Pasuk Tesvav. There are different heroines in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and there are a number of different heroines in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and the first ones we meet are the Miyaldos HaIvrios. And the Miyaldos HaIvrios are really the template, the dugma of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. The Gemara tells us very explicitly in Masechta Sota, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Bishar Nashim Tzidkaniyos, but also Hador, Nigala Yisrael Mitzrayim. In the merit of the righteous woman of that generation, Israel were redeemed from Egypt. Bas Paro is another one of the heroines of the story of Shibun Mitzrayim and then Yetziat Mitzrayim. So what happens? Perak Aleph Pasuk Tesvav. Yomer Melch Mitzrayim L'Miyados HaIvrios, Asher Shem HaAchashifa V'Shem HaShenis Pua. The king of Egypt caused the midwives of the Hebrews, the name of one of them is Shifra, and the name of the other one is Pua. So who are these Shifra and Pua? So Rashi tells us, it's Parak Aleph Pasuk Tesvav, Rashi tells us, Shifra Zu Yochaved. I will just tell you that Rashi is quoting the Gemara. If you look up Sota, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Amud that I just quoted, Rashi's quoting the Gemara. So who is Shifra? Zu Yochaved, it's Yochaved, Al Shem Shem Mishaparas Es Havalad, because she beautified the child. Shin Pei Resh, and Lashon HaKodesh means to beautify, shofar, it means to beautify. Pua, who is Pua? Zo Miriam, this is Miriam. Al Shem Shepua, Umidaberes, Vahoga, Levalad, Kedera Hanashim, Hamifaisos, Tino Kabocha. So why is she called Pua? Poo, 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 coo, coo, coo. She would poo to the baby. She would coo to the baby. She would make comforting sounds to the baby. So Shifra would make the baby very beautiful, and Pua would coo to the child and make comforting sounds, if you will, to the child. So Paro calls these Miyaldos, and he says to them, when you birth the Hebrew woman, and you see on the birthing stone, if it is a boy, he shall be put to death, and if it is a girl, she shall live. But these Miyaldos were God-fearing women. Below Asu Kasher Diber Alei and Melech Mitzrayim. They did not do what the king of Egypt spoke to them. They kept the baby boys alive. So it wasn't just that they were passive. They weren't just, okay, I'm going to look away. Whatever happens to the boy will happen to the boy. They went actively out of their way. Rashi says they gave him food and drink. They went out of their way to take care, to make sure that the babies would live. So the king of Egypt calls them Yaldos. And he says, why did you do this? Why did you keep the boys alive? So they come up with this excuse and they say that the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptians. The Hebrew women are like animals, referring to Birkas Yaakov, Binyamin is as their Eve. Now, Naphtali's a serpent. Naphtali, no, Naphtali's a fast hide. Who's a serpent? Done. Yeah. Okay, so in other words, they're like animals. Just like an animal doesn't need to call the midwife, so the Hebrew women don't need to call the midwife. We're not doing anything. By the time we get there, the whole birthing process is over. They don't need a hospital. They don't need an epidural. They don't need the OB. They don't need us at all. We get there, and we're superfluous. Vayitav Elokim l'miyaldos. God did good for the miyaldos. Vayarev ha'am, from the word rove. What is the best reward that could come to the miyaldos? That the nation increased. Vayatzmu ma'od, they were very strong. So what is the reward that Hashem gave them? So Rashi says, vayitav elokim miyaldos. Rashi says, mahu hatova. The Pasuk says God did good for the Miyaldos. So Rashi says, what is the good that he did? Rashi answers the next Pasuk. Vayihi ki yoroh ha-Miyaldos es Elokim. And it was because the Miyaldos feared God. Vayash lohem batim. So Rashi says on the previous verse, Pasuk Chaf, what is the good? The answer is in Pasuk Aleph. God did good for the Miyaldos. What's the good? Vayash lohem batim. What are the houses? What does that mean? God made houses for the Miyaldos? Bate kuhuna vilavia umalchu, shekorin batim. Houses of kuhuna and levia and royalty, and those are called houses. What is kuhuna and levia? Who does that come from? Yochaved. Who are her sons? Aaron and Moshe. Kuhuna and levia from Yochaved. Umalchus mi Miriam. Ki de'isa b'masecha sota. So once again, Rashi is quoting from the Gemara in Sota. This Amud in Sota, Yud Aleph Beis, is where where the Gemara speaks about the Nashim Tzidkanios, who affected redemption. The Gemara tells us there, I went through it first, but I'm not teaching it in depth today. The Gemara tells us how they would go to draw water, a pot of water and a pot of fish. They would warm the water, cook the fish, go to their husbands in the fields. Because of the Vodas Parach, the husbands gave up. We know very clearly that what happened, Amram said, he stood up and he showed to Yud Aleph Beis. What did Yud Beis Aleph, what did Amram do? He said, "L'shavanu amelim, I'm a v'gerish shishto, I'm dukul, I'm v'gerish shoshoseim." So we know that it was a time when the men gave up, and it is the Jewish woman, it is the Israelite woman who did not give up and who maintained their emuna in a kodesh baruch hu. So Hashem rewarded them. So how did He reward them? Bate kuhuna levian malchus. And Rashi's quoting Sota. It's the same amud, yod aleph amud base. Kuhuna and levia come from who? Yochaved, what are her children? Who are her sons? Moshe and Aaron. And Malchus comes from Miriam. Now, how does Malchus come from Miriam? Who did Miriam marry? Oh, Kalev, what tribe? Yehuda. If she's Malchus, it has to be the tribe of Yehuda. Oh, sorry. Well, okay. Vayihi ki yara miyadosh esokim vayash lehem batim. So we have established what the batim are. Vayitzav paro l'chol amalimor. Now paro's desperate because the slave labor's not working, the infanticide's not working, the financial oppression's not working, the people are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Vayitzav paro l'chol amalimor. So he can't eradicate this nation. He doesn't know what to do. Kol HaBenetz, chapter 1, verse 22. And again, when we read the Haggadah, you're going to see so many of these psukim in the Leil Haggadah. Kol HaBenetz, Yilad HaYarot HaShlichu, V'chol HaBastachayim. So finally, Paro says, I don't know what to do. What we're going to do is every male who is born shall be thrown into the river, and every girl she shall live. Now, I just think it's interesting. I said it in the shir last night. It's such a chizuk to me. Our enemies don't seem to get the hint. How many times have they tried to destroy us? V'chol dar v'dar amdi maleinu l'chaloseinu. So you would think that they would realize that they're not going to be successful. Why does Hamas and Hezbollah and the liberal left and Iran, why do they think they'll be the ones to be successful? No one since Esav, no one since Paro has been successful in eradicating Am Yisrael, no matter what kind of program they come up with, whether it's the propaganda or the finance. Your paintings aren't your paintings, your business is not your business, your gold is not your gold, your radio and your bike bicycle or not uranium. Bicycle, obviously, I'm referring to Nazi Germany. No matter what effect they tried to place upon us, no matter what kind of edict they put into place, and they go from that to slave labor camps, they go from that to infanticide, concentration and death camps, and no matter what, Klal Yisrael is kasher yanu oso kein yirba v'kein yirfot. The more they afflict us, the greater we are and the stronger we become. I just think it's such a chizuk for our time. Like, why do our enemies today think they are going to be successful? They only know b'chol dor v'dor amdim aleinu l'chal shenah, but they forget that the end is v'akadosh baruch hu matzi leinu mi'adam. The survival of Knesset Yisrael throughout the ages is the greatest miracle in the history of the world. No other nation has been as oppressed, as despised, as persecuted, as hated, as reviled, chased to the ends of the earth, and yet we are flourishing. Kasher yanu oso, the more they afflict the nation of Israel, kein yirba v'kein yirfot. So the Gemara says, and now we're going to go to the Gemara and so to Yudah off on the base. I really am sorry you don't have handouts. Please forgive me, but you're going to have to just auditory process and follow along. So the Gemara tells us in Sota Yud-Alef Amud Beis, Darish Rabbi Avira, Rabbi Avira expands, Bishar Nashim Tzidkanios, Shahayu Ba'oso Hadar, Nigala Yisrami Mitzrayim. It is in the merit of the heroines, and again, we're not doing it today, but see Rashi 238a about the mirrors. The Vayasis Akiyor Nechoshas, Vazchano Nechoshas, the Maros HaSovas, Asher Tzavu Pesach O Amoed, the Kiyor was made from copper, and Rashi there refers to the Nashim Tzidkanios who did not give up. They maintained their hope and their faith, and they birthed a new generation of Klal Yisrael. Later on that Amud of the Gemara, after discussing the righteous woman, the Gemara then discusses the midwives. These midwives that we just saw in the Pesukim, the Gemara now discusses the midwives. And the Gemara says as follows. It quotes the Pasuk from Chumash, Vayihi, ki yaru hamiyaldus es elokim, vayaslohem batim. It was because the midwives were God-fearing women. That's the only reason. Not because they were afraid of Paro, and not because they were afraid of losing their jobs, not because of societal pressure. A Jew is a God-fearing person who does what he does because Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Shamid, Ki Minim Baal Emor, he sees a Kosh Baruch Hu before him always, and therefore he is God-fearing. These were God-fearing women, and they knew that it is against a Kosh Baruch Hu to kill the babies, and that's why they resisted. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Vayihi ki yaru hamiyaldus es elokim, vayas lohem batim. Okay, we saw that inside and we saw what Rashi says. So, Ravu Shmuel, Chad amar bate kuhuna ulavia, one says bate kuhuna ulavia, like we already saw in Rashi, the Chad amar bate malchus, and one says bate malchus. I'm going to be also quoting a number of the footnotes from the Art Scroll Gemara. So Rashi says, why are they rewarded with Malchus? The Art Scroll footnote, I should say, not Rashi. To be a king, one must be God-fearing. Therefore, since the midwives fear God, they merited Mida Keneged Mida, that the royal line descended from them. To be a Jewish king, I should say. Let me rephrase that. To be a Malach B'Yisrael, you must be a God-fearing person. And the footnote brings a number of sources where you should look. Devarim 17:19, Mishlei 24:21. Since the Torah, the Pesukim tell us that to be a king is to be God-fearing in Israel, since they were God-fearing, and Hashem pays back measure for measure, Mida Keneged Mida, they merited to have the line of Malchus. Man to Amar Batei Kuhuna Leviya, the one who said they were rewarded with Kuhuna and Leviya, Aaron and Moshe. This is clearly referring to who? Aaron and Moshe, Kuhuna and Leviya. Uma'an to Amar Batei Malchus, David Nami Mi Miriam Kaase. And the one who says that we are referring to houses of royalty, who are we referring to? We're referring to King David, David Nami. We're also referring to King David, Mi Miriam Kaase, because who did David come from? Miriam. Dichtiv. Now, what is the proof that Miriam is the mother of kings and that Miriam is the mother of David HaMelech? Quoting a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, the pasuk says from Divrei Hayamim Aleph. I forget which pasuk it is. I think it's Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Yirchas. I think. There we go. The pasuk says, Vatamas Azuva. Azuva, who was the wife of Kalev, died. Vayikach lo Kalev es Ephras. Vatedi lo Eschur. The Gemara says that how do you know that Bate Levi, not Levi, Malchus. How do you know Bate Malchus? Royalty comes from Miriam. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Yamim Aleph, Perek Bet, where we have a reference to Kalev and Hur, who was born to him, but the pasuk lists the wife of Hur, slash wife of Kalev, mother of Hur, as follows. But Thomas Azuva, Ayin, Zayin, Vav, Beis, Hei, Azuva died, she was Ashes Kalev, Vayikach lo Kalev as Ephras. And Kalev married a woman named Ephras, Vateli lo es Hur, and she bore to him Hur. Now, I'll tell you something interesting. I saw in Medrash Rabbah, and I was preparing this, I also looked up Medrash Rabbah. Miriam is Azuva. Miriam is Azuva, and Miriam is Ephras. Now, does it say she died? So one of the opinions in the Medrash is, if you remember, Miriam had in Bamidbar Perek Yudbeis, what did Miriam have? What? Tzara'as, and a mitzora is nechshav, if you want to tie it into this parsha, which is a very, very far-fetched tie-in, but okay, fine. Parsha's Tazria is about the mitzora, and mitzora is nechshav kameis. So according to one opinion in the Medrash, the reason it says Vatamas Azuva, who is Miriam, who is Ephras, is that she didn't really die. What happened to her, however? If Azuva is Miriam, because she had Tzara'as, and a mitzora, in this case mitzora'as, is nechshaves kameis, therefore she's called Azuva. That's just a side point which I saw in the Medrash. So Lamaisa, this pasuk from Divrei Yamim Aleph Perek Bet tells us that Azuva died, and Kalev takes Ephras, Vatevi lo eschur. And this is a reference to who? This is a reference to Miriam. Okay. Uksiv, and furthermore it says, so how do you know that Miriam is a mother of David HaMelech? Because the pasuk here in Divrei Yamim calls her Ephras. And then the pasuk tells us, V'David ben Ish Ephrasi. The pasuk calls David HaMelech on, I just read it, Ephrasi. So, because David HaMelech is called an Ephrasi, and Miriam is called Ephras, and she's married to Kalev, and she had Hur, so the Gemara says, what does that come to teach you? That Miriam is the mother of, grandmother of, great-grandmother of David HaMelech. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what the article footnote says. Okay. The sages have an oral tradition that King David was a descendant of Miriam. And they expound this in these verses. The Maharsha points out that although we find a person called an Ephrasi, if he belonged to the tribe of Ephraim, or if he lived on Har Ephraim, neither of these conditions were true of King David. So why would the pasuk call him an Ephrasi if he did not belong to the tribe of Ephraim? He did not live on Har Ephraim. He derived from the tribe of Yehuda, and he lived in Yehuda's territory. Thus, the Gemara is able to conclude he must have been called an Ephrasi after the matriarch of his family, Miriam / Ephras. It is true that the city of Beis Lachem in Yehuda, where David lived, was also called Ephras, but our Gemara was called Ephras after Miriam. So, where David HaMelech lived, the city of Beis Lachem in Yehuda was also called Ephras, but why was it called Ephras? After who? After Miriam. I saw very interesting in Medrash Shmos Rabbah Parsha Aleph, Simon Yud Zayin. The Medrash speaks more about this. Medrash Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Aleph, Simon Yud Zayin. The Medrash says, Lama Nikra Shmo Ephras. Why was her name called Ephras? Sheparu Viravu Yisrael Al Yodeha. Oh, Ephras, what shorash do we have there? Pru Ervu Emilu As Arz V'Kivshuha. Ephras from the word pre, from the word fruits. My son is calling me, but I'm not going to pick it up. Okay. Lamini Krashma Ephras. Why was her name Ephras? Sheparu viravu Yisrael al yada. Ephras is from the word peros. So this is taking us back to Sefer Shemos, Perak Aleph. What did she do? She ensured that the Israelites would not be destroyed. They would not be decimated. They would be flourishing and multiple and fruitful. By the way, why is she called Miriam? She's called Miriam after also Perak Aleph Shemos, by Yemaru as Chayim, Perak Aleph Pasuk Yedalid, by Yemaru as Chayim, Bavoda Kasha, by Yemaru's Chayim, Bavoda Kasha, Bechomer Velevenim, Bechol Voda, Basada, Shavdu Bahem Befarech. She is called Miriam because she was born in a bitter time. Now we know that she's called Miriam because she was born in a bitter time. She's called Pua because she would coo, poo, 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 murmur words of comfort to the child. And now we know that she's called Ephras because, excuse me, as the Medrash Shmos Bereishis Rabba says, Lama Nikra Shmos Rabba, Lama Nikra Shma Ephras Paru V'Rava Yisrael Yoda. Because Israel was fruitful and multiplied. So this is really the heroine. And by the way, she's the leader of Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the desert. The well for 40 years in the desert is called the Be'er Miriam. That's why in Parshas Chukas, Perchof, Thomas Miriam, V'lo Hayam Mayim La'eda. What's the connection to when Miriam died, Bamidbar Perchof, and there's no water for the assembly? So what did Chazal say? It must be that the whole time she was alive, there was water for Klal Yisrael. Now that she died, what happened? Lo hayam mayim leida. She stood by the water. She stood by the river to make sure her brother would be saved. Hashem paid her back. Mida kenegan mida. Hashem saved Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the desert with water. The kiyor was made of the righteous woman because it was also water. Ein mayim ela Torah. Mayim is chayim. They saved Klal Yisrael through water. Miriam stood by the water. I told you, the Gemara says they drew buckets of water to wash their husband's feet, the Gemara says, and so to Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So therefore, they saved Klal Yisrael this way. Hashem paid them back. So Miriam is Miriam. She was born in a bitter time. She, by the way, it's not an accident that besides for Mar, her name also has the letters for Mayim, Yam, Mayim, Shiras Hayam. She's called Pua because she cooed and cuddled and said soft words to comfort the child, the crying child. And now we know that she's called Ephras because of her, what happened? Lashon of the Medrash, Lama Nikra Shma Ephras. I only wanted one line of the Medrash, so I wrote it in my Gemara. That's Medrash Mos Rabbah 117. Lama Nikra Shma Ephras, Paru V'Ravo Yisrael Yada. So it's truly Beschar Nashim Tzidkanios, but also Adarsha, Yigal Yisrael Minitraim. That's because it's the women who did not give up. Source after source proves to us that when the men despaired, when the men divorced their wives, when the men wanted to stop having children because they did not see any light on the horizon, they did not see a Geula, what happens by Yamsuf? Parak Tesva Pasuchav. Atikach Miriam Hanaviachos Arnas Atof Biyada Atitzena Kol Nashim Mecharei Betupim Mebucholos. And what does Rashi said? Tupim Mehechan Hayu Lahem Tupim Muvtachos Hayu Shvisha Pesach Kriyas Yamsuf Seventh Day of Chag Pesach Muvtachos Hayu Tzidkanu Shabador Shakadosh Baruch Hu Asal Lahem Nisim Veltziu Tupim Mimitzrayim. Where do they have tambourines from? They were so certain. They had so much bitachon. Muvtachos Hayu bitachon. Shakosh Baruch Hu Yasal and Nisim, Shautziu Tupim Mimitzrayim, that they took out tambourines from Egypt. So we have Miriam, bitter, but also sea and water. Miriam, Pua, cooing to the child. Miriam, Ephras, Shaparu V'Rava Yisrael Yada. And in this merit, because she was God-fearing, she merits to become the mother of Melech HaMashiach. It's interesting because we don't usually associate Miriam with Melech HaMashiach. Tamar, yes. Paraklamet Ches. Bas Lot, Moav, yes, I'm going a little out of order. Parak Yotas. Rus, yes. We don't typically associate Miriam with the mother of Melech HaMashiach. This week in Shabbos HaGadol, we read the last of the Nevi'im, Malachi. The final Navi of the Nevi'im, Malachi, Parak Gimel. Of Torah's Psukim Dalet through Chaf Dalet. And how does the Navi end? Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi lefnei bol yam Hashem hagadol v'anora. Ve'yishiv leiv avos al banim v'leiv banim alav osap. What are we waiting for? The koshel Eliyahu. Eliyahu should come and he should announce that Mashiach is coming. A Mashiach is going to be at Samach David Avdecha Meheres Hatzmiach. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we end the whole Seder? Shvach HaMashchal Gaim Asher Lo Yadu'ucha. Pour out your wrath on the enemies who did not know you. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should sing the Shir Chadash Haleluka, the paragraphs of Halal before Shulchan Aruch are for the Geulas Mitzrayim. The Halal that we complete after Shulchan Aruch and after benching is the Halal Haggadah that we should say for the ultimate Geulah. Should be the final Geulah. And we don't usually associate Miriam Hanaviyah with, I mean, maybe you do, but I really never did. Rus, Bas Lot, Moav, and who was the last one? Tamar. Those are really the mothers of Mashiach. But apparently, very clearly, so is Miriam Hanaviyah. Because she saved Klal Yisrael, it will be her descendant who will come and save the entire world. When Eliyahu HaNavi comes, Zachor LaTov, we have a kosher, we have a Shabbos where we read about Eliyahu HaNavi coming. When Mashiach comes, it will be in the merit of Miriam HaNaviyah. Okay. This is so interesting. I need time and a half for today's year. I need double time. I need triple time for today's year. Who cares about the grocery when you're sitting here and learning? Not me. Maybe you, but not me. We'll all get to the Seder on time. Let's talk about Rachel Imenu. Parak Lamed Hey of Sefer Bereishis. Vayisu mi Beis El. Yaakov and his family have survived what he thinks is going to be an onslaught of Esav. There's a great miracle. Esav and his 400 men, Iran and their 300 missiles. When Hashem is on your side, you can't destroy Klal Yisrael. He survives this great onslaught of what they think is going to be destruction of Yaakov and his family. Vayisu mi Beis El. They travel from Beis El. Vayihi ad kivras ha'aretz lavo. What? I can't hear. Very nice. Vayisu mi Beis El, they journey from Beis El. Yaakov's coming home with his family after 20 years by Lavan, 18 months on the road. Vayihi ad kivras ha'aretz lavo. There's a beras, it's a measurement. I don't know if it's a mile, a kilometer, lemaisa. There's a measurement of land left to go. Where are they coming to? Ephrasa. Oh, they're coming to Ephras. Vateirid Rachel, vatekash v'lidata. And Rachel goes into labor, but she's struggling in her childbirth. From the word kasha, she's having difficulty in childbirth. Oh, I just thought of something that I didn't even think of when I was preparing. This passage is also dealing with the birth of the next generation of Klal Yisrael, and also Hamiyaladas. So I don't know the connection, and then I'm going to need four times, quadruple time for the Shia. But that cannot be an accident. And then it's Al Tiri'i. Also, the Lashonos here, and Lashonos by the Mialdos, deal with the Mialdos, birthing, Yiras Hashem. Okay, I can't keep going on that tangent, but interesting. Al Tiri'i, do not be afraid, ki gam zeloch ben, this will also be a son. Vayihi b'tzei nafsha kimeta, her soul is leaving. Rachel's dying. Vatikrishmo ben Oniv, aviv karalo Binyamin. So she calls him the son of my pain, and his father calls him Binyamin. Vatamas Rachel, and Rachel died. Vatikaver b'darach Ephrasa, she was buried on the way to Ephras, he beis lachem, which is beis lachem. Now, if you recall, we already saw that the Maharsha says, a quote from the Art School footnote, the Maharsha says that the place where David HaMelech, his city and where he lived, was called Beis Lachem, but it was also called, if you're paying attention, the Maharsha says, it was also called Ephras, and the Gemara would say that it was called Ephras after Miriam. So this all goes back to who? Miriam HaNaviyah. Vayetziv Yaakov Matseva al Kvurasa, Yaakov puts up a monument over her grave. He Matsevas Kvuras Rachel ad hayom. It is, and I remember, whenever I read these psukim, I remember when I went to Israel as a child, before I made Bas Mitzvah, when I was 13, remember what Kiv Rachel used to look like? Not a military compound and not a fortress. You just drove up, and there was Netzeva of Kiv Rachel. Okay, side point. So very interesting. Where are they coming back to? Derech Beis Lechem, back to Ephras. And who is born on the way when they're almost at Ephras? Who's born? Binyamin. Oh, furthermore, Yaakov says to Yosef on his deathbed, Parak Memchas Pasuk Zayin in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov says to Yosef, Va'ani bevoi mi Padan, as for me, I was coming back from Padan Aram, Mesa alai Rachel, Rachel died upon me, Ba'aretz Kenan, in the land of Kenan, Bedarach ba'ad kivras aretz lavo Ephrasa. When Yaakov refers to Rachel's death at the end of his life, he says to Yosef, she died right by Ephras. The Ekrashon Bederach Ephras, and that's what I buried. If you want to know the landmark of where to find Kever Rachel, he says, go to Ephras. He Beis Lachem, which is Beis Lachem. So I was thinking to myself, what is the connection between Miriam and David HaEphrasi and Rachel and Binyamin, who was born by Ephras? These are both righteous women. There are four mothers. I'm not saying Miriam is an Aim B'Yisrael. We have three, Arba Imahot. We spoke about them last week, remember? Four mothers are really One mother. Okay. So we have Arba, Imahot, and Shalosh, Avot. However, Miriam is clearly a leader. She is a Nashim, she is a Isha, Tzidkanio. She effected the redemption. She is Miriam, Mar, Mayim, Yam. She is Pua, cooing to the babies. And she is Afras, because Klal Yisrael was fruitful and multiplied through her. And the Maharsha says that the place of David HaMelech, which is called Beis Lachem, is also called Afras, only because of Miriam. Now, how do I know she is Miriam Afras? Because the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beit, says that Kalev's wife, Azuva, died, but we already said she didn't really die. She had Tzaraas, and a Mitzor is an extra of Kamis, and he married Afras. So how do I know that has anything to do with David HaMelech? Because David HaMelech is known as David HaEfrasi, which means he is David ben Miriam. Then we went to a passage in Perek Lamed Hei, which is where Rachel Imenu dies. And we saw that where Rachel Imenu dies is also where Binyamin is born. So Binyamin is born in the region of, by the town of Afras. So I was thinking to myself, what is the connection between Miriam and David HaAfrasi and Kings and Mashiach and the end of days, the ultimate Geula, and Rachel / Binyamin / the town of Afras? I wrote in my notes, both of these are righteous women, and their sons are associated with Afras. So I wrote in my notes, and I italicized it, there must be a connection between them. I thought to myself, there has to be a connection between Binyamin and Yehuda. Because both of their mothers, Rachel and Miriam, are associated with Afras. So Hodu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. I was preparing shiur. At this point, it was only like 11 o'clock at night. We weren't, it's still only like 11. So I needed the Gemara Maseches Yuma, volume 1. So my son, one of the boys, was still up. I know you're not supposed to ask anyone in the house to get anything for you. Okay. Sometimes I'm far, far, far from perfect. So I asked my son if he could go get me Yuma, the first volume. So it wasn't on the shelf. So I know my husband is learning Baruch Hashem in Amud Yomi, Yuma. They're up to Yuma. So it's not on the shelf. So my son went to check my husband's talis bag. Maybe the Gemara is in my husband's talis bag. No. So I texted my husband, who is still up. I said, do you know where the Yuma is, volume 1? So he says it's in Shul. So I said, oh, Baruch Hashem. He learns Gemara and Gemara every day. Really, Baruch Hashem, not sarcastic. Hodo Hashem ki tov ki lem chasto. So I didn't know what to do. So my son, Shmuel Zonvel, who I quoted last week, remember? Yeah? The four sons are really one person. Okay. So underneath the Sfarim shrank, we have closed cabinets where we have some extra Sfarim. And I like things to be very neat and clean. Different people have different midos. It's difficult for me when things are out of place in the house. It doesn't work so well for me. I don't like extra things. I don't think we don't use. So we have a full set of Shas, Art School Schoenstein. So we have like, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 volumes of the very large ones. Not this size. We have 8 or 10 of these. And over the years, I keep saying to my husband, why don't we donate them to the shul? Why don't we give them away? We don't need them. They're just taking up space. We have the full set. So Yuma, Volume 1 is in Shul, because Baruch Hashem, without any sarcasm at all, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu Manayim Gorleinu, that's the Masechta that my husband's Gemara Shir is up to. So why does he bring it back and forth every day? It stays in Shul, where the rabbi gives Shir. So a few minutes later, my son comes into the kitchen with this. I was so happy. I said, thank you, Shmuel. He looked underneath, and of the 10 volumes, 12 volumes that we have, one of them is Yuma. Okay, so I think I got extra. I don't know. I shouldn't say I think. Maybe extra schar for shopping the larger size here. Thank you to my son for finding this. Okay, so I'm trying to think to myself, there has to be some connection between Binyamin and who? Yehuda. Because both of their mothers, and I don't mean Leah, the mother of Yehuda, because we've already seen, we have to talk about Miriam being the mother of Yehuda, even though I know Leah is the mother of Yehuda, the biological mother of Yehuda. I'm talking here about Sheva Yehuda. You understand? Because Afras, Miriam, Pua is the mother of who? Sheva Yehuda, through Kalev, who had Chur, she's the mother of David HaMelech. So what is the connection I'm trying to figure out between Binyamin Rachel and Sheva Yehuda Miriam? So here we go. The Gemara tells us, Now we're in Yuma. Yud Beis Aleph. Okay. This is very, very interesting. We're in Asachas Yuma, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Ditanya, it was taught in a Braisa. Mahaya Bechalko Shel Yehuda. Which part of the, which parts of the Beis HaMikdash were in the Chelak of Shevet Yehuda? So you're going to see, this is very interesting. The Temple Mount complex was not in the territory of one tribe. It was in the territory of two tribes. Now, which two tribes do you think it's going to be in, since what am I telling you? Yehuda and Binyamin share a distinct schos, which is that the Beit HaMikdash, part of it is in the territory of Yehuda, Miriam HaEfrasi, and part of it is in the territory of Binyamin, who was born Bedarach Efras. Now, the Gemara does not connect this to Efras. I'm trying to see what connection there could be between these two Shvatim and their mothers, because they're both associated with Efras. Ditanya was taught in the Braisa. Mahaya Bechalko Shel Yehuda. Which parts of the temple were in Shevet Yehuda? Art scroll footnote. Jerusalem and the temple complex straddled the border between the territories of Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. So what was in the portion of Yehuda? Har Habayis, Halishchos, like the Lishchos Hagazis, the different chambers, and Ha'azaros. What was in the tribe of Yehuda was Har Habayis, the temple mount, Halishchos, the different chambers, and the Azaros, the courtyard. Art scroll footnote explains what each one was. The temple mount is the Mount Moriah, upon which was constructed the temple complex. The Braisa teaches the chambers in this part. There's different chambers where the Sanhedrin sat, the Lishkos Hagazis, the Maisa, there's different sections. And the chambers, the Lishkos, were in the territory of Yehuda. And furthermore, the Azaros, the courtyards. And the Arsko footnote says there were three courtyards. The women's courtyard, the Israelites' courtyard, and the Kohanim's courtyard. Okay? I really wanted to say more of the footnotes to you. I went through them. What we have to know is that Har Habayis, the different chambers, as well as the three Azaros, which are the women's courtyard, the Israelites' courtyard, and the Kohanim's courtyard, and the footnote explains where each one was on Har Habayis, and even says, look at the map on the next page, and here's a map on the next page. These were the things that were the territory of Yehuda. So what we have to know is that Temple Mount, the chambers, and the three courtyards were in the territory of Yehuda. Very good. Then the Gemara says, Umahaya Bechalko Shal Binyamin. What of the Beit HaMikdash was in the portion of Binyamin? The Ulam, the antechamber, the Heichal, the sanctuary, Ubei Kodshei HaKadoshim, and the Holy of Holies. These were all in the territory of who? Binyamin. The Art Scroll footnote says, the temple edifice itself was compromised of three parts, the antechamber, the Holy or the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Yehuda's territory included the eastern part of the temple complex, while Binyamin's territory embraced the western part of the temple complex. And there are footnotes in the Chanstein Gemara and diagrams to explain. So what we see is that so what did Yehuda and Binyamin share? Not only that their mothers are associated with Efras, and Efras is David HaMelech and Mashiach, but also the Beit HaMikdash. Now, this is fascinating to me. Why? Because when Mashiach comes, what will be rebuilt? The Beit HaMikdash. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting that it should be on Yud Dal and Nisan. We're not going to roast your bone, whatever kind of bone exactly you use. It's not, we're not waiting to put in the oven and put this Nebuch little bone on the Seder plate, Zeichel and Mikdash Kilo. No, we want to be where? Omer L'Regel. We want to be bringing the actual Karban Pesach. We want to celebrate the festivals like they're supposed to be commemorated, are supposed to be celebrated. We're in the Beit HaMikdash. And the Beit HaMikdash is in the portion of Binyamin and also in the portion of Yehuda. Efras is the mother of both. And when Mashiach, David HaEfrasi, comes to redeem us, and the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Binyamin and Yehuda will once again share the distinct privilege of having the temple and the Shekhinah dwell in their portion. So, again, Har HaBayis, the chambers, the Lishkos, and the Azaros, the courtyards, three courtyards, were in the territory of Yehuda. As for Binyamin, the Ulam, the antechamber, the Heichal, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were in the territory of Binyamin. Interestingly, the Gemara says that there's a little strip of land that projected from the territory of Yehuda. There was a little strip of land projecting from the territory of Chelek Yehuda. Like, how did it happen that the Beit HaMikdash, the temple mounts in the territory of Yehuda, but the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Zara are in the temple of Binyamin, territory of Binyamin? There was a little strip of land, like Lahavdil, excuse me, please. I'm sorry, but you know on the map, Italy kicks Sicily right in the boot or something. You know how sometimes there's a portion of land that extends. So if you look at Italy, there's a portion of land that extends at the bottom. Yeah? Florida Keys, there's a portion of land that extends at the bottom. Excuse me. There's a portion of the territory of Yehuda that sticks into the tribe of Binyamin. And that is how the Har HaBayis could be in the territory of who? Yehuda. How does Binyamin feel about this? And it was there that the altar was erected. Binyamin was very upset. Binyamin does not like this. Every day he was longing to absorb, to swallow up. Binyamin wants a territory in his portion. He doesn't want it to be in the portion of who? Yehuda. He wants the full chus. And the Gemara calls him Binyamin HaTzadik. Shanamar, okay, I don't have to quote that. Therefore, Lafichach Zacha Binyamin at Sadik, Vinasha Ushpizach and Dagvura. Binyamin merited to become the Ushpizin, the host. Ushpizin is really the host, not the guest, by the way. Okay? Binyamin merited to become the host for the Shechina. Shanamar, like it says in Birkas Moshe, Uben Ktefav Shachin. God dwells between the shoulders of Binyamin. So Binyamin was very troubled because he says, I want the whole thing to be in my territory. So Hashem says the actual Beit HaMikdash will be in the territory of who? Binyamin. Okay. So now I am proposing to you, that's the Gemara Numa 12a, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Binyamin was born to Rachel Badarach Afrasa. Miriam is the mother of kings, the tribe of Yehuda. The mother of David HaMelech HaEfrasi, the mother of Mashiach, and she is called Efras. I'm quoting from my own notes. Both Yehuda and Binyamin are associated with Efras, which is the Koach of Sheparu Viravu Al Yodeha. Klal Yisrael will always be fruitful. We will always multiply. No matter how much they try to destroy us, they will never be successful because they don't know the end of Vehisha Amda. They only know the beginning of Vehisha Amda. But they don't know. How could they not know? How could you be so blind? Just look at history. Don't you see who's here and who's not here? But somehow they don't know. Because Klal Yisrael will continue to be fruitful. Kasher Yanoso, Kain Yerbe, Vekain Yifrotz. Yifrotz is the same. Peirish of Efras, the longevity and continuity of Klal Yisrael, and hence, when Mashiach will come, we daven that Eliyahu Navi Zachor Tov should come and drink the kosher Eliyahu, and he will be the one to announce that Mashiach is coming. When Mashiach will come, he will be from Yehuda, David Efrasi, from Miriam, and the Beit HaMikdash will finally be rebuilt in the territory of Binyamin, who was born on the way to Efras. Why? Because it's the schush of the fact that Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, from Paro, interesting, the first two letters of his name are Peresh, the irony of the fact that he wanted to destroy us from Purvu, but Klal Yisrael triumphs and we will always overcome. Peresh is the same source of his Efrats and Chen Yefrots. The next letter is Ayin, which is 70, because we will outlive the 70 nations. And the next letter is Hey, because it's through our adherence to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that we will live the 70 nations and we continue to be fruitful. Do you know what I just did? Paro. The first two letters of his name are the Shorish of Pru Urvu, Afras. He tried to destroy our ability to procreate. But Miriam came along and she said, that's not going to happen under my watch. She changed Mar to Mayim. She cooed to the babies. She helped us to be fruitful and multiply. Ayin, the next letter of Paro's name, he was the first who tried to destroy us. Lavan, Arami Ovid Avi, we read in the Haggadah, but Lavan was against the family. Paro is now against the nation. We will survive the 70 nations. How? Hey, through our adherence to thee. Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So the Kolach of Geula comes from the power of Ephras, which is the blessing, the bracha, and the koach of Klai Yisrael to be fruitful and multiply throughout history, throughout Galus, come on me. We do not give up. And it's specifically the Jewish women who do not give up. And we know from the sources, not because I'm telling you, so to Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Medrash Rabbah, like we just quoted, Parsha Aleph Siman Yud Zayin, Rashi to Shmos 38:8, it's the Jewish women who don't give up. When the men gave up, it was Miriam Ephras who told her father, you're worse than Paro. It was Miriam Ephras who told her mother and father to get back to remarry. And it's this koach of Rachel and Miriam, the mothers of redemption and Geula, that will take us all the way to Yemos HaMashiach. And then the Beit HaMikdash, which will be the symbol of our freedom once again, will be rebuilt. And of course, it will be the territory of who? Ephras, Binyamin, and Yehuda. It gets better. It gets even better. You know, Baruch Hashem, I said last week, do you want shir, don't you want shir, 2 weeks ago. Rabbi Shachter said, whatever you want is fine with me. So I said, we're going to have shir, so apparently you also wanted to learn Torah. Baruch Hashem. It gets better. On Shavuos, which is Man Matan Torah Seinu, here we go. On Shavuos, which is Man Matan Torah Seinu, we also read about David HaMelech. Because what, according to tradition, what is the birthday and day of death of David HaMelech? What? Is anyone talking? Shavuos? Shavuos. And therefore, which book of Ketuvim do we read on Shavuos? Hello? Is anyone answering? Rus. Okay. Am I like... very tired? No, I don't. I mean, I am, but no, I'm actually not right now. I'm very, very invigorated. I'm not very, very tired. Baruch Hashem. But we read Rosh Hashanah Shavuos because it's the birthday and Yurtzeit of David HaMelech. Matan Torah is the beginning of our redemption, but what are we waiting for? David HaMelech, Mashiach. Therefore, we read the book of Rosh. It's a beautiful, short story of Tanakh, narrative, I shouldn't say story. It's four prakim long. And we all know at the end, Rus is the Moavi, who's her father, Lot, and Moav. And she comes back, Machlon and Kilion, Orpah leaves, Naomi's all alone, she's all bitter. They have a cousin, his name is Boaz, glean in my fields, don't go to any other fields. Okay, Naomi realizes that there's a shidduch, she instructs her daughter-in-law to go down to the granary at night, uncover his feet. If the next Goel, Ploni Almoni slash Tov, does not want to marry Rus and establish a name for the deceased, then who will marry her? Boaz. What tribe is Boaz from? Yehuda. Goes back to Peretz and Zerach and Peretz Lamed Ches Tamar. Get ready. We're at the wedding in Perek Dalet. A wedding, beautiful. So he says to the Goel, Ploni Almoni slash Tov, do you want this field? I want the field. You know, the woman, the Moavi, comes along with the field. I don't want this. I don't want to bring shame upon my name, my family. I'm not interested. So who's going to marry Boaz? Who's going to marry Rus? Boaz. So Boaz says to the elders and all the nation, you are witnesses that I have acquired everything that belonged to Elimelech, everything to Kilion and Machlon from the hands of Naomi, V'gam es Rus HaMoaviyah, Eishas Machlon, Kanisi Lili Isha. I have acquired Rus, the Moaviyah, the wife of Machlon, acquired her as a wife. Lahakim Shema Mes al Nachoso. Vayom Rukola Am, we read this on Shavuos. Shavuos is known as a Tzeres because according to some, the 49 days of Shvir Shomer are one long Cholamoid. Just like on Sukkos, we have Shmini Tzeres. Shavuos is known as a tzeres by Chazal, the Gemara Yevamos 62b, and other places. It's known as a tzeres because it's considered the finale of Chag HaPesach. Why is it considered the finality of Chag HaPasach? Because what does Pirkei Avos tell us in Perek Vav? Einecha ben chorin ala misha osek b'talmud Torah. So it's very nice that we went free on Pesach, physical redemption. But without the spiritual redemption of Torah, you could be physically free and you're still a slave. If a person, if a Jew does not have Torah in their life, mamish, it's very sad. It's mamish, very sad. It's a tragedy when a Jew does not learn Torah. Tragedy. You could be physically free, but you are spiritually enslaved. So Shavuos is a tzaras because it's the, not Shemini tzaras, I guess I should call it Chamishi Matzaras. It's the continuation of Pesach. Pesach really ends after we get the Torah. Because Zman Chereseinu is not complete without Zman Matan, Torah Seinu. Today you see in society, Rachman al-Tzlan, I'm not talking about us, the world at large, you have people who are physically free. They are emotionally, socially, spiritually enslaved to society, to the tuma of society, the negativity of society, the culture of society. If a Yid does not learn some Torah, if he does not have Torah in his life, he is not a free person. So atzeres is the shmini atzeres of Pesach. And true freedom will come, ultimately, will combine the ultimate physical freedom and the ultimate spiritual freedom with the coming of David HaMelech, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Vayom kol amasher bishar, the Hazkenim, and all the nation in the gates, and the elders, Edim, the witnesses to this marriage, kosher Edim, yitain Hashem es ha'isha, habal abisacha, kirachal v'chaleya, asher banu shteim es beis Yisrael, v'asa chayo, you don't know what the pasuk is? Well, what do you think it's going to say? You should all be saying the same answer. Even if you don't know, you should be saying the same answer. The Edim give a bracha. They give a bracha to Boaz for this woman who is going to be the mother of Melech HaMashiach. Just like Miriam is the mother of David HaAfrasi and the mother of Mashiach. Just like Binyamin is born in Afras and the Beit HaMikdash, which will be rebuilt immediately in our days, will be built in the territory of Binyamin, the Azara, Heichal, Kodesh, and Kodesh HaKadashim. Here we have another mother of Mashiach, and who is that? Rus. And what is the bracha that the Edim give? I'm going to say it again, now that you know what the next word is. Yitain Hashem es ha'isha abal beisacha kirachal v'kaleya asher banu shteihem es beis Yisrael. Hashem should bless this woman who's coming into your house like Rachel and Leah. The two of them together built the house of Israel. Va'asa chayo be'afrasa u'kirach shein be'beisacha. Va'asa chayo make, how do you translate chayo? Eishas chayo, chayo, mecheol, echeol, prosper. It's not really a good translation. Strength. I literally took the word out of my mouth. It's really like a strength. You should make strength in Afras with this marriage, with this woman. And in fact, they will make strength in Afras because from this marriage will come Mashiach and they will continue the lineage that began with Miriam Hanavia and the Beit HaMikdash when David HaMelech, his son, comes to redeem us. The Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt in the territory of Binyamin, who was born by Afras. V'asachaya be'Afras u'krash shein b'veis lachem. So now we go back to Perek Lamed Chesed Bereishis, the other mother of Mashiach. Your house should be like the house of parrots. That Tamar gave birth for Yehuda. From the seed that God shall give you. So we go back to Yehuda and Tamar. Why? Because he did Yibum, unbeknownst to him. She dressed up at the crossroads, Lamaisa. Tamar's also a mother of Melech HaMashiach. And she dresses up. I shouldn't use the word seduces. It has a very negative connotation. She dresses up to arrange that her father-in-law shall be with her to fulfill Yibum, because Er died, Onan died, Shelah's not being given to her. She knows that she has to have seed to establish a name for this line. So Tamar sits at the crossroads. She has Yehuda be with her, and from that lineage is going to come Melech HaMashiach. And therefore, the bracha they give is that this woman who comes into your home should be like Rachel and Leah. The two of them built the Beis Yisrael. Va'asa chayil, make valor. Maybe that's a better word. You shall be a make valor be'afrasa. U'kvashem be'beis lachem. Va'hi beis chaka beis parats, and your house will be like the house of parats that Tamar gave birth for Yehuda. So Tamar, of course, the mothers of Mashiach are very interesting biblical personalities. Or interesting relationships get the rise to Mashiach. Tamar is mother of Mashiach, and here her lineage is coming together with the daughter of Moab, Rus HaMoaviyah, Lo to Moab, Lo to Bechira Moab, Tamar Yehuda Boaz, Minazer Shayitin Hashem Lechamina Nara Zos. The Eila told us Peretz. Peretz told us Chetzron. Chetzron had Ram. Ram had Aminadav. Aminadav had Nachshon. Nachshon had Salma. Salman had Boaz. Boaz had Oved. Oved had Yishai. The Yishai holied David. And Yishai had David. I can't believe what time it is. I mean, I can, because it happens to me every week. So I can believe what time it is, but I'm not happy with what time it is. Salman in this audience. 1 year, I think by Hanukkah, or the end of the year, she said, at the end of the year, it's customary to give your teachers a gift. I'm not looking at anyone, in case she doesn't want to be named. It's customary to give your teachers a gift. So she bought me a beautiful, what are they called? Those sand things? Hourglass, yeah. It's very nice. It's wood on the top and the bottom. It's engraved with my name. And it says, if you want to stop time, just turn the sideways. It's beautiful. It's next to my lachter. So far, it hasn't worked for me. I appreciate her friendship and our learning partnership and the gift, but it has not worked. I'm not able to stop the time. I wanted to quote to you the Malbim on these psukim, but I don't have time. But the Malbim points out, and this I am going to quote. At this point, we're up to, I'm not sure what time, after one. Sheta asa chayo. What is the bracha that they give Boaz? Va'asa chayo ba'afrasa. You should make valor. I think that's the best word. Valor with this woman in Afras. Shatasa chayil shazek kolo kol hashlemios ad shiyu litif eras lechol mishpacha Afrasa. So when I saw that, what did I realize? The word Afras is the same as the word tif eras. Tif eras is glory, right? Covenant tif eras, honor and glory. I guess we're going to use the word glory. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are not meant to be translated, but unfortunately we are here and this is our mother tongue and we're in Gaulish, but the letters of Ephras are also the letters of Tiferes, because the ultimate glory will be restored again to Klal Yisrael when we will see the establishment of the Beit HaMikdash that will be rebuilt in the territory of who? Binyamin and Yehuda. Why Binyamin and Yehuda? Because Binyamin was born Bedarech Ephrasa, and Yehuda comes from Miriam HaEphrasi, and why is she called Miriam HaEphrasi? Medrash Rabbah 1:17, Shemos Rabbah, because Sha'al Yadaha, what happened to the nation? Paru Vayifru Vayirbu, the nation were fruitful and they multiplied. Miriam, a bitter time. Mayim, her whole life revolves around life-giving water. Pua, she cooed to the babies. Ephras, she ensured the survival of Klal Yisrael. And she sets the dugma for us. We too are living in times of travail and persecution. Not only Miriam and those women. We are living in times of confusion, of darkness, of galus. We see again the enemy who rises up to destroy us. They're not hiding. They're not trying to be polite. Anti-Semitism, sin, Simchas Torah has reared its ugly head. It is raging around the world. Raging. Miriam lived in a time, she was a leader in a time, when Paro wanted to do exactly what our enemies want to do today. But with her tenacity of spirit, with her ability to change what is bitter into water, with her ability to pay attention to every infant, to coo to them, to give them love, not to say I'm too busy to hear the cries of one Jewish child, and her ability to encourage the woman to be fruitful and multiply, Miriam Pua Ephras, she is Zocha, that Klal Yisrael will continue to be fruitful and multiply until when? The son of David HaMelech, Yavovi Galenu. And David is Ha Ephrasi. Tiferes and Ephras are the same letters. Or Tiferet, Ephrat, Tav Pei Alish Reish Tav. I even wrote it, this part in my notes, in bold, in the middle. I sent it into my page. I try and make my notes very nice. The glory of Israel, the end of days, it's Shabbos HaGadol. We quoted the Pesukim from Malachi. Hine Anochi Sholech HaCham Es Eliyahu Anavi Lefnei Bol Yom HaShem HaGadol VeHanora. Halavai, the Koshal Eliyahu should not be opening the door to the longing for Eliyahu Anavi. He should finally come. It's enough tears. It's enough Vayimaru Eschayim. It's enough Kol Beni Yoyed Artsushichu. I'm sure you saw last Shabbos. Benyamin Achimeir, 14 years old, Hashem Yin Kom Dama, went out with the sheep, and he didn't come home. The sheep came back, and he was murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem. Shvoch HaMash Chol Agoyim. We ask, we end the Seder with a tefillah. Let us say the final Halal, Bizman Mashiach. The ultimate glory of Klal Yisrael. The ultimate Tiferes. Will only come with Mashiach and Binyan by Yishlishi, with the glory of Efras. I wanted to tell you, I'm going to take 3 minutes. You won't be sorry, I think. The Pasuk, to tie everything now together, finally, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Beis, speaks about David HaMelech's longing for Mashiach, for the Beit HaMikdash. David wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash. He was not allowed to. Chapter 132 of Tehillim, which I wanted to go through the whole thing with you, but I don't have time. But David HaMelech speaks about longing for Mashiach. So David HaMelech says, I will not go into my home. I will not go upon my bed. I will not let my eyes slumber until I find a resting place for the Shekhinah. The Mishkan for the Abir Yaakov. Hine shema'anuha be'efrasa, mitza'una b'sidei ya'ar. Behold, we heard of it in Efras. So the beginning of the capital is describing David HaMelech is greatly pained because he says, how could I go to my home? How could I go to my bed? How could I be comfortable as long as the Shekhinah has nowhere to go? And then, hine shema'anuha be'efrasa, it is heard in Efras, Mitza Anuha Bisteyar, found in the forested field. Navol Mishkanosav, let us come to his Mishkan. Nishtachav Elahadom Raglav, let us bow down. Let us bow down in his holy place, at his footstool. Kuma Hashem Minuchasecha, arise God to your rest. Atov Arnuzecha, you and your holy ark. Your Kohanim shall wear righteousness. Your Chasidim should sing. So it's Ba'avur David of Decha, Al Toshev Pinei Mishichacha. It's describing when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt. God's glory will find his presence. The Mashiach will come. What does the Pasuk say? 132:6 in Tehillim. Behold, it is heard in Efras. It is found in the forest. B'sedei Ya'ar. Found in the forested field. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. And I'm not going to quote the whole thing because we don't have time. 99:1. You could look it up if you want. It's here. It's very beautiful. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. 99:1. Sadi Tes Aleph. Tells us, how come Binyamin merited that the Beit HaMikdash was in his territory? Because all of the tribes were involved in the sale of Yosef. But who was not involved in the sale of Yosef? Binyamin. And therefore, he merited that in the future, it will be in the portion of Binyamin. And then the Pasuk says, Hine Shema Anuha Be'afrasa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beis HaMikdash Nivne B'Sochel Kosho Yehuda, Efrasim Beis Lachem Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the Beit HaMikdash will build in the portion of Yehuda, like the Pasuk says, referring to David HaMelech, Efrasim Beis Lachem Yehuda. But on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says, B'Sochel Misha Mesa B'Efrasa. No, the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and he who died by Efras, Umi Mesa B'Efrasa, Rachel, so it will be by her son. So we see from this pasuk that in the end of days, it's just a proof of everything we said. Hinei shema anua be'afrasa. I heard about it, and it's heard in Efras. Mitza anua b'steyar. It will be found in the forested field, referring to the fact that Binyamin is a ze'ev. So the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah says, according to one opinion, the Beit HaMikdash will be in the territory of Yehuda because David HaMelech is the Efrasi. According to the other opinion, it will be by Binyamin because he was born by Efras. Lamaisa, we daven, we hope, we long for the day. We'll take the kochos of Miriam HaNeviah. The Jewish women have a fortitude to change what is bitter into life-giving water. We have the koach and the sensitivity and the kindness and the rachamim to pay attention to the cries of a little baby, meaning the small things in life. We don't ignore people, we don't negate, we don't invalidate, we deal with the large things like the survival of Kness Israel. We deal with the small things. We cry, we comfort the crying infant, puah. And finally, Afras, it is the tenacity of the Benos Yisrael who ensures that Kness Israel will always be fruitful, will always multiply in the path of our righteous foremothers, Miriam HaEfrasi, Rachel Binyamin B'darach HaFras, and we should be zocha that the Atzera should finally come, and we be zocha to welcome David HaMelech Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yitein HaIsha HaBaal B'Sacha K'Rachel V'Chaleya Asher Banu Shteim Espeis Yisrael V'Asa Chaya V'Afrasa. Should be zocha to see it immediately in our days. I wish you a gewaldig, beautiful, uplifting Chag HaShem V'Sameach. Thank you all.